thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
Due to technical difficulties, we join the sermon already in progress.
Then the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. They will, when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. That's Psalm 91. What is being proclaimed here is that when you put your trust in Him, God will always be with you. He's not saying do foolish things and He'll protect you. There's a vast difference in that. Satan attempts to do what so many, including other preachers at times, try to do. Take this bigger understanding and slide just a little bit out to confuse you. But I'm here to tell you there is a consequence for stupidity. There is a consequence for sin. And you think, well, if I sin in private, I'll be fine. If I do this and no one knows, I'll be fine. No, I'm sorry. Sin will always find your home. And we are being reminded here in this moment, you cannot remove the consequence of sin. You could not remove the cross from the mission of Jesus. The psalm boldly proclaims that He will protect you as His children, those who call out on His name. But it also clearly says trouble will come to His children. And it also promises He'll be with you in the midst of that trouble. Have you ever been tempted to cut corners? Have you ever been tempted to even sin in order to get ahead of your job or life? Have you ever tried to move your agenda forward in a way that probably isn't right? Parents, let me ask a question. And then your accountability partners are sitting with you today. Have you ever tried to manipulate your children in order to get them to behave in the way that you want them to? Kids are like, yes, they have. Kids, you don't get out of this. Have you ever told your parents just enough of the truth to stay out of trouble? Have you ever done something to gain someone else's approval that you know was wrong? The temptation Jesus faced in this moment, was one of moving His agenda of Messiahship ahead of schedule. This temptation was one that ignores the fact that sin has consequence. If Jesus gives in, He remains the Son of God, but He becomes disqualified to be your Redeemer. He becomes disqualified to become our Messiah, eliminating the path of the cross and leaving the power of sin undealt with in your life. What corners are you tempted to cut in your life? For adults, sometimes this means that you found a way to inflate your productivity at work in order to gain an advantage. For teenagers, sometimes that means someone offered you the answers to the test so you don't have to study quite as hard. Sometimes for a child, this means that you sneak some food into your room so mom and dad don't know that you're eating when you shouldn't be. Anytime you sneak, it's probably bad. For us adults, it means maybe you have a shortcut to losing some weight a little quicker than you ought to, not a healthy way, but an unhealthy way. For teenagers, sometimes this means you go along with the crowd even though you really don't want to do what they're doing. For children, sometimes this means that you laugh at someone or say something to someone that is hurtful, and you know it is, but you do it to gain acceptance from another person or crowd. Here's our takeaway for the day. Parents, children, grandparents, if we learn one thing from this day, from this temptation, here's what I want us to kind of take away from. Doing the right thing might not give you what you want unless what you want is the blessing of God. doing the right thing. And by that I don't mean what feels right. I mean what's right according to God's word. Doing the right thing might not give you what you want, unless what you really want is the blessing of God. Jesus answered the temptation by quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me look at this. It comes right after the Shema, this great passage of that Israel loves. Verse 16, Moses says, "You must not test the Lord your God as you did when you complained in Massa." This is where they were in the wilderness and they were journeying for 40 years as a family group before they were a nation. Verse 17, "You must diligently obey the commands of the Lord your God, all the laws and the decrees He has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so all will go well with you. Then you will enter and occupy the good land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors." Down to verse 24, "And the Lord our God commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear Him so He can continue to bless us and preserve our lives as He has done to this day. For we will be counted as righteous when we obey the commands our Lord God has given us." There's one area in Scripture that God says, "Test me in this." Just one. You won't want me to preach on it. It's about giving money to the kingdom of God. It's about finances. He says in Malachi, "Test me in this. Be generous, bring in the tithe, don't worry about it, and see if I don't bust open your doors with blessing." You don't want me to go on a three-part series on that, okay? That's the one area that God says, "Test me in this." Everything else, Moses and all the writers and the prophets, they all agree, don't test the Lord. Trust the Lord. The difference in the magnitude of that statement is incredible. Don't test the Lord. Trust the Lord. Doing the right thing might not give you what you want. It might not give you your promotion. It might not elevate your grade. It might not give you that boyfriend or girlfriend or even respect among your peers. The reality is sometimes we are called to confess, not fake. And that might cost you a little, rings up the chart of respect in your office or in your home for just a short term. The second part of this says, unless what you want, which goes back to what Pastor Steve said last week about your desires, unless your greatest desire in this lifetime is the blessing of God, then you'll get exactly what you want by doing the right thing. You've got to see the difference here. See, I want to live for the glory of God and not for the admiration of man. I personally want to live my life according to His will and His purposes, not so I can get an invite to the cool party in town. At the end of the day, I don't even know if I want to retire as a pastor, because what I want to do is I want to end my life being obedient to God. And if that means He calls me to go do something else, I'd better go do something else. But it's got to be God's calling. Every one of you are living out God's calling. Only some of us are called to be pastors. That's just the way it works. But all of you are called. All of you are ministers of the gospel, wherever you are. I want to be faithful. So what are you tempted to do that short circuits God's plan that keeps your life comfortable? What are you being tempted to do that is clearly not right, but certainly keeps all the attention off of you? You know, just kind of keeps you in the crowd. What are you being called to stand up against? What are you being called up to? What injustice in your life are you being called up to stand up against? I can't answer these questions. All I can know is that we fall in line with the same temptation of Jesus in this moment to short-circuit the will and plan of God. The challenge is this for us, as it was for Jesus 2,000 years ago. Will we trust the plan of His Father, or will we trust in our own logic and our own power? I want to be, and I want you to be, people who are willing to go into the wilderness and say, "Not my will be done, but His." And that means we have to work hard at understanding His will. That means we have to be in His Word and know His Word, so that when the Word gets twisted around in our head by Satan, who won't come, as Steve said last week, in bodily form, it's a lot harder to say no to Satan when he's in your head. It's a lot easier to punch him right in the face when he's standing in front of you. Right? He will come in your head, and you have got to know the Word of God in order to stand up against the way He's going to try to twist it. So that means we have got to know the Word, we've got to understand His will, and we say, not my will, but yours be done. I will go through the wilderness. I will fight the good fight. I will be blessed and encouraged by those who are standing alongside of me in the body of Christ in which I worship on a weekly basis, but that we will stand united together to fight for His glory. The bottom line is this: what Jesus showed us on day one of His ministry, or day 40, was that He is enough. He is absolutely enough for you. You do not need to manipulate the circumstances of your life. You need to trust in His plan for your life, and He will guide you. He will be enough. I want to pray for you, and we're going to sing a song as a kind of concluding moment of our day together. God, I ask that You speak so clearly to every heart, from the youngest child here today to the oldest grandparent, that You, God, today in this moment, You have been revealing the temptations of our life in our hearts and minds. I hope, God, that we've been paying attention to Your voice more than my own today. And I hope, God, today that in this moment, as we've just spent time with You as a body, as a collective group, I hope that we have felt Your presence convicting us, challenging us to live for truth and not the deceptions of this world. Jesus, we cannot thank You enough for recognizing the temptation that was really at play, for You to ignore the cross. Well, it would have been great for You, God, but we would still be tormented by sin and have no hope. But the cross today gives us all the hope we need. For You have defeated sin, You fulfilled Your mission, and we are forever grateful. Today we don't worship You as an idol who floated down being guarded by angels. Today we worship You for being a sacrifice, for paying the price for our sins, and we give You thanks. Help us, God, in this moment as we reflect, as we make commitments, as we pray to You, as we sing to You, that we do so in a way that reflects our sincere gratitude for all You've done. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.